Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Thursday, January 16th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I brought in Cole Shelton today to talk about the UFC 246 pre-fight press conference that took place yesterday in Vegas. Cole, how's it going, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right, buddy. I'm all right. So the press conference was interesting, to say the least, Cole. There was a lot of prop bets, by the way. I don't know. Some of those cash. You know what? I was watching just on Twitter to see what people were saying. I saw a guy say that he put some money on the one that they would make physical contact, and the sports books graded as a loss for him, even though they shook hands twice. So I don't know what happened to that guy's bet, because to me that should count as a win, but I guess they were looking for like a shove or a push or something. Don't you think that counts, look cool, like a handshake? I think that's pretty fair, right?
Well, they weren't clear. They just said physical contact.
Yeah, exactly. So,
like,
I'm with you.
They just handshake, fist bump, like that. They're still making physical contact, but those prop bets, there were some easy money ones. Like either fighter says Khabib is like plus 150.
Yeah.
Does Connor predict a KO win was plus 200? He's predicting a KO win all the time.
I know.
You know someone's asking about Mystic Mac. Like, I don't know how those were plus odds at all.
There was one on him wearing a suit, which I talked about yesterday. It was like minus 200. Like, that's easy money. Or, Cowboy wearing a hat, that was minus 2,500. No one's going to put money on that. But that obviously was going to cash too. And, I think for the most part, there was some money he made, surprisingly. But I think that particular one, I was kind of surprised when I saw that guy say he didn't win his bet. But anyways, let's talk about the press conference itself, just some takeaways from it. Initial thoughts on the press conference and what you heard from Connor. And we'll start with Connor, and we'll talk about what Dana and Cerrone said. But any thoughts on what Connor was talking about?
Yeah, Connor, he obviously has a lot of respect for Cowboy. He wasn't going to be swearing a lot. He wasn't going to be like shoving like he did with Diaz, Alvarez, and Khabib. I'm surprised he didn't try to get in Cowboy's head a lot more, because that's where he's known for, like, saying a bunch of stuff, getting their head. He had a lot of respect. Cowboy had a lot of respect back to him. They said, oh, it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a fun fight. Like, I thought they would try to sell it a bit more, but to me, they were just showing a lot of respect, saying, oh, they're both good fighters. Like, it's going to be a good fight. But Connor, to me, seems focused again. Like, he doesn't act out of line. Like, he's acting like this is his shot. Like, he needs to win this fight. He's all focused on this fight. He's not looking past him. When people were asking about it, he's just kept on saying, like, oh, I got Cerrone in front of me. So it's good that way, but I think a lot of fans were expecting, like, more fireworks from this press conference.
Yeah, I think so too, but I honestly wasn't expecting too much, just because there is a lot of respect between these two guys, obviously. And Connor's, man, he's got a lot going on outside the cage right now, Cole. Like, he's got to be careful, you know, about just being a prick, because people already don't like him that much right now. So he's just kind of got to be chill. I thought, you know, for the most part, he's pretty respectful. So pretty much how I thought it would go. Let's talk about a few different things he said. He said that the UFC offered him Khabib before they gave it to Tony Ferguson. Do you believe him?
I don't think so. I think even if they offered McGregor, Khabib would have said no. Like, that's the thing. So it might have been offered to Connor just because. But to me, that fight made no sense, the media rematch. It makes sense down the line, makes a lot of money for him. I would like to see that happen by the end of the year. Connor, say, he beats Cowboy, get one more, fight Gaethje in a number one contender. If you beat Gaethje, then you've proven you deserve the shot at Khabib. An immediate rematch, I think that would have made a lot of fans mad about that.
Yeah, no, I kind of agree with you on that. He also said that he'd be open to a featherweight rematch. I think you did the article on this one, just read it. You think that he's blowing smoke? I mean, I can't see him ever fighting at 145.
Me either. I think that's just kind of...
I think there was a chance at one point that we could have seen a rematch be at 155.
Yeah.
You know, but Aldo now is at 135, and you know, McGregor is very complimentary once again. I think there's a lot of respect between those two guys. You know, I know they fought and we all know what happened there, 13-second knockout, but I do think there's a lot of respect between Aldo and McGregor. I don't think we'll ever see that rematch again. You know, he's asked the question, he answered it. You know, I think that he said that there's a chance it could happen one day, but Cole, honestly, there's no way in hell he ever fights 145. At this point, Cole, I think he stays at 170 for a while, man. I mean, he seems to be in good spirits at 170, doesn't cut any weight, he's underweight. He just goes in there and fights. You know, MMA is actually different now than it was a few years ago. Guys were cutting such massive amounts of weight. Now guys are realizing you don't need to cut weight really to be a winner in this sport. Like, you can actually win fights and be an effective fighter by not cutting weight. So I think he stays at 170. And I guess I can go on to the next thing here, because he was asked about Masvidal and Usman, his opponents. He said that he's interested in Masvidal. He likes the BMF title. He kind of wants that. And he talked about Usman. He said he's interested in that fight as well because he wants the title. He says Usman has this sniff the jock strap style, like Khabib. So, I mean, if he does beat Connor, you think he gets either of those fights next? If he does beat, sorry, Cerrone this weekend?
I think the Masvidal one, I think he would get if he beats Cerrone. I don't think he gets Usman. I think there's a lot more contenders. There's Masvidal, there's Leon. Like, if Cerrone Masvidal get matched up, they're going to do Leon Edwards. I think, but if, say he goes out and beats Cerrone and beats Masvidal, I would not be shocked if his third fight this year isn't Khabib and it's a 170 title fight. Like, he's made it known he wants to be the first ever 3-weight champion. He wants to break all the records in UFC. Like, that's a shot. Like, Masvidal's a, what is he ranked? I think 3 right now, maybe, or 4. Yeah. He's top 5 for sure, because it's going to be Covington, Edwards, Woodley, then maybe him. So I think he's 4. But, like, beating a top 5 guy, like, that's going to get your title shot, because especially if Woodley is fighting.
Not sorry to cut you off. He's 3. You forgot about Woodley. He's number
yeah.
1. Yeah.
Yeah, so you have Woodley, Covington, Masvidal, then Edwards. Like, being a top 3 guy, like, that gets you a title shot. That you're right in contention there. So I think it makes a lot of sense. It doesn't make sense after this, but say he goes out and fights Masvidal, beats Masvidal, then it makes sense to fight Usman.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You know, it seems he wants that BMF title. I think he's a little jealous that he didn't get involved in that fight, Cole. And it's funny because he keeps going on about how the fans were robbed of that fourth and fifth round. And honestly, I am one of the people that think the fight was stopped early. I know Nate Diaz's eye was fucked, but you know what, man? Like, he wanted to keep fighting. I think the doctor stopped it a bit early, just my opinion, you know. But, you know, I kind of agree with Connor on that one. I just wanted to ask you about this. Morgan Campbell was a really good friend of mine, and he used to work for the Toronto Star. He just left there maybe last month, and he was doing a freelance piece for the New York Times. So he's there on assignment there for the New York Times. And I think they were the ones who originally reported the McGregor story, and they're the ones who say his name. Like, they're the only ones mentioning his actual name.
Yeah, they've done it twice now.
Yeah, so he asked Connor, do you have, like, any updates on it? And immediately fans booed him. Cerrone's like, why are you asking about that? Like, just focus on the fight. Dana White said he already answered that with Ariel yesterday on ESPN. And Morgan's just like, can I get a status update? Connor didn't say a word. Cerrone bullied him. Dana bullied him. And the fans were disgusting. And they cut his mic off, too. I mean, first off, I'm actually really good friends with Morgan. He's just a great guy and really good journalist. Coley's one of the only guys, because he's not an MMA journalist. He's a sports journalist. He didn't care what Dana had to say. You know, he's going to get access either way. He's not scared of losing his credentials, which I think is a lot different than a lot of the MMA guys, because they're really worried that Dana's going to pull their credentials, right? Just any thoughts on the whole situation? Because honestly, I was kind of disgusted by it. I'm not surprised, but I was kind of disgusted by the way he was treated.
Yeah, it was not a good look. I wasn't happy with it either. But the thing that made me more mad is you see all these fans going, oh, when are journalists going to start asking hard questions? Like, you're just asking softball questions of the fighters. And then when a real journalist asks a tough question, the fans boo. Like, what do you want? Do you want us to ask hard questions, or do you want us to just throw softballs for the fighters? Like, you can't have, like, you can't say you want both and then boo when either or happens. Like, I think more media have to ask those tough questions. It was like, I was not happy with how the fans treated Morgan at all.
No, not at all. It was pretty bad. You know, again, no surprise, really. But it's just funny, though, like, all the criticism on Twitter, like, all the time, Cole, the media asked really easy questions. Ariel's questions weren't good. Morgan goes and asks him in the press conference. And, you know, that's the response, really. It reminds me of a few years ago, and this is kind of a little different, but Brian D'Souza, who he's kind of a friend of mine, I don't really talk to him anymore, but he this is the Aldo and McGregor press conference in Toronto years ago, like 5 or 6 years ago. And he asked Dana White about fighter pay, and he got booed out of the building. And once again, you know, the fans were booing him. The fighters booed him. Dana yelled at him. The media turned on him too, which is funny, but it's just weird how, you know, you're always asked to ask hard questions and then you do, and you get turned on by everyone, including your peers. Cause I didn't see any media members really defending Morgan.
I saw a couple, like Luke Thomas and Ben Folks were defending him, saying, like,
yeah, that's good.
Because some fans were tweeting at him saying, like, why does that have to be asked? And Ben's like, this is the right time to be asked. Like, McGregor hasn't done any media. He hasn't done any media since that. Like, when are you gonna supposed to ask him? And Luke Thomas is like, that's a real journalist there, like, asking those questions, and fans need to realize, like, that's what needs to be asked.
Morgan's a legitimate sports journalist. Like, he covered sports at the Toronto Star for 20 years. Like, he's been at a lot of the big fights, you know, Floyd and Connor, or Floyd and Manny, a lot of these big fights. He's been around forever. He does a lot of sports. So I'm not surprised he was the guy that asked the question, because he doesn't care about losing his credentials, because he won't lose them, cool, because he works for the New York Times. So he'll always get them, you know? that's the difference, Cole. And you know, I know you're kind of like newer to the business, Cole, but you know, someone who's been around for a long time, the one thing that's always bothered me is just like a lot of the journalists are just really scared about Dana White, and they're always scared about pissing him off. Just do your job and ask the questions. Like, if they pull your credentials, that's on them. You know what I mean? And you know the great thing about MMA, Cole? You don't need your media credentials to cover the sport. You can cover it from home. You could get like almost the same access just by watching the scrums, and you don't get to ask the questions, which does suck, you know, if you do get pulled. But I'm not worried about being pulled. When I used to go to the questions or the scrums, I asked, you know, hard questions, and I still have credentials, so you know, I can still go, but it is what it is. Okay, we got a question here. Sia ran to you. Questions about false allegations. F him. A lot of men are pissed off with the culture of false allegations. I'm Irish and I've lived in Crumlin. It'll come out soon. All these allegations that journalists was trying to push are bogus. Give me your thoughts on that, Cole.
Well, I mean, the New York Times is probably, what, the most respected newspaper in the world, I'd say.
One of them, yeah, for sure.
And to have them come out and say it and have Dana White and UFC and Conor McGregor not say a thing, like, it might not be true, but, like, it has to be proven in court. Like, you're obviously innocent until proven guilty, but to have the New York Times, like, that's a big source saying that you're doing it. And a lot of Irish paper have said, oh, a sports star from Ireland have done it because they can't say his name. We're not accusing him of anything, but, like, it was accused by the New York Times that he was it, but it has to go to court before you see if it was true or false or not.
I agree with you on that. And, you know, listen, CRN, I know what you're saying, buddy. I get it. Like, you do got to be careful in this day and age because a lot of people do lie. You know, a lot of people are lying out there and they are falsely accusing people. But in this particular case, like, I feel like there is, you know, maybe something behind this. You know, the fact that Connor doesn't really talk about it, it's kind of telling to me. You know, I don't know for sure what happened, man. I hope the stuff that he's been alleged to did is not true because I like Connor, but you know, it's possible to, and that's why it is, you know, an illegal status right now. And I get that he can't comment on it, Cole. Like, but that's, he wasn't asking him like, did you do it? He just said, what's the status of, you know, the legal status right now. Also, the New York Times is right, has posted lots of fake news, as you Yanks call it. We're not Yanks, bro. We're Canadians, so you're Canucks. But yeah, I know what you're saying. If you won't be going to court, I know his history, can't talk about it. That is true. He cannot talk about it. He can't say anything about it, Cole. You know, so I can understand why Connor just said, you know, basically no comment. You know, he didn't actually say anything. He could have just said, if I was him, I would have just said, you know what, my lawyers have advised me not to talk about this right now. You know, I'd like to answer your question, but my lawyers have advised me to talk.
Yeah, or you just say, like, Irish laws, I can't talk about it. It's better than saying nothing.
Instead, man. You know, and no worries, man. He says they used to live in Toronto. No worries, buddy. Yeah, exactly, Cole. I'm with you on that one. It is what it is, man. Again, you know, we're all hoping that Connor gets clear on this because, honestly, Connor's so good for the sport, and he's good for us as media members, Cole. We need Connor because we need those clicks. We need people watching. We need the views, man, and Connor helps with that. Any last thoughts on the whole situation, Cole, before I move on?
No.
Okay, cool. I've got a question here. Chris Ludford, if and when Macy Barber wins versus Roxanne, who should be Macy Barber's next opponent? Montana Stewart, De La Rosa, Rachel Ostovich, or Andrea KJBlee? Any thoughts, Cole? You thought Joanne Calder would, right? That's the one you liked?
Yeah, because Roxanne said Joanne was offered originally, and I think that makes sense. She's not going to fight Ostovich. Ostovich has a losing record.
Yeah.
She's not going to fight Del Rosa and Lee. They're too far under her. She's going to try to fight someone above and then try to earn the title shot by the end of the year.
Yeah,
I think Calder would make sense.
I'm looking at the rankings. Right now, Macy's ranked number 9. So Montana's 11, so she won't be fighting her because she's not going to take a lower-ranked opponent. Roxy's actually number 7. So you also have Lauren Murphy, number 6. Viviane Araujo, number 5. Jessica Eye, number 2.
Like, I make sense, too.
Calderwood, 3. Or Jennifer Maia, number 4. I think any of those fights make a lot of sense. I do think you'll see her fight someone ranked above her in her next fight. I think she deserves it. But, of course, she does have to get Roxy. You know, we talked about this the other day in the preview podcast. You guys come back to check that out on Tuesday. We both favor Barber, but we do think the odds are a little crazy for that fight, considering Roxy's pulled off the upsets in the past against prospects. But if I think Barber's the real deal, and I do think if she does win, Cole, you're going to see her fight someone in the top 5 or 6 because, you know, she wants to break that record for youngest champion. I'll be honest, man, I think that Valentina probably smokes her even, you know, if she waits another year. But, you know, hey, good for her for wanting to try. All right, the Dana White scrum, he also did a scrum yesterday. One of the things he said, Justin Gaethje's not in line for a title shot. It seems like Connor's going to get the next title shot. What do you think?
I'm not surprised. Gaethje he's not a big draw. He's not a big money fight. And the thing with Gaethje too, which people don't really talk about, is he hasn't really beaten a top tier guy. Like, what's his biggest win? Probably Barboza. Like, Cerrone's up there, but like, he beat James Vick, who Vick's now on a 3-fight losing streak. What he fought the top guys he lost. So he lost Poirier Alvarez. Like, I think he could get a title shot now, but if he gets one more win against a top five guy, like, that really cements itself. Like, fight Poirier again. If you get past Poirier, like, that just cements yourself. And the thing is, like, he has to know McGregor's gonna make more eyes on the sport, gonna make the UFC and Dana White more money. So that's what they're gonna go with. So you have to just, like, look at Ferguson. He had to just keep on winning until he finally got his title shot.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Gaethje, I love him, man. He's probably my favorite fighter. You know, I've loved this guy since WSOF days. But he only has a 3-fight win streak, you know, and as good as he is, Colt, 3-fight win streak, does that really get you a title shot? I don't know, because, you know, Vic, that's really not even that quality of a win at this point. Barboza is a pretty good win, I guess, and then Cerrone's a good win, but I don't know, man. I don't know, Cole. You know, here's the thing. The ironic thing is Conor's probably going to get a title shot being Cerrone, who just Gaethje just knocked out in the first round. I get that, but here's the difference, Cole. Who's a more proven pay-per-view draw?
Conor. Has Gaethje even – He's only been on like one or two pay-per-views.
Yeah, you know, that's the other thing. He had the one Eddie Alvarez fight, which was an amazing fight, but that was his only pay-per-view fight. Cole, they have to put him on a pay-per-view. You know what? You know, this is crazy. You know, this is Cerrone's first time headlining a pay-per-view.
That's crazy. I would have thought he would have had.
No, look at his record. He's headlined fight night cards. He's headlined UFC.
That's true. He's just always a guy to headline just fight night cards.
He's headlined against Dos Anjos. He's headlining against Oliveira. He's headlining against Till, Medeiros, Edwards, and Iaquinta, and Gaethje. And you know what those have in common, Cole? Fight night cards. They were not pay-per-views. Let's go to the questions here. CRN, or Turned Up MMA. What's up, Cole and Adam? Good luck to you again. You too, buddy. Thank you, Ben. Always appreciate you tuning into the podcast, my friend. CRN too. Love your show, guys. Thanks, buddy. Canadians, nicest people in the world. I agree with that. Who will replace Whitaker? Actually, you know what? I was actually going to go to that next, so that makes sense that we're going to talk about that. So, Rob Whitaker's out due to personal issues. You have any update on that, Cole? Because I know you're pretty close to Rob. Any?
No, it's just...
It feels like depression and stuff. You think it has something to do with that? Like, or...
I don't know. I asked his manager, and I just got told the same thing. It's personal issues.
No comment
on it.
Apparently, it's not the wildfire thing, which is good to hear, but, you know, he's got some stuff going on. Who will replace Whitaker? I think it's pretty obvious. Darren Till. It's going to be Darren Till against Jared Cannon here. And that's a great fight. What do you think, Cole?
Yeah, I think it is. I was texting Jared last night, and basically just a short update. He basically said he's staying on the card. So, and Dana White recently said Till's fighting in Vegas, and he's fighting a top-tier guy. And everyone's like, well, the most top guy is Hermanson. So it makes sense. Till Cannon, where that gets Adesanya, so... I don't know. I think Till – and then Hermanson called out Gaslam, so I think his camp has probably told you're not getting Till anymore, so try to get someone else. And it makes sense, Till Cannonier. You still have that backup fight for Adesanya Romero, assuming that happens. And
yeah, and Hermes is calling out Gaslam.
Yeah. That would be a good fight.
You could throw that fight in the card, too. It would be a nice, you know, fight to beef up the main card. That would be a sweet, eh? Like an all middleweight main card, except for that women's – strawweight title fight. That'd be a fun main card, Cole. I think to answer your question, man, it's going to be Darren Till against Jared Cannonier, which is a really good fight. I don't even know who I'd favor in that one. I mean, I guess Cannonier, based on how he's looked lately, he looked amazing. But Till, you know, we both picked him against Gaslam. You can't count this guy out. You know, he's still a good, really good prospect. Chris Ludford, Paige VanZant, better in ONE FC or Bellator?
Bellator, well, just because Austin's there.
Yeah, I don't think he's going back to the UFC. She's got one more fight left, or is she done now, Cole?
Yeah, she's got one more after this Rebus fight.
Yeah. So, after this Rebus, or I thought.
Yeah, like Rebus is her last fight.
Yeah. Tough fight, too. I mean, Rebus is very dangerous. She just beat Mackenzie Dern. She's a very underrated fighter. Yeah, I think Bellator, because Austin's there, too. But I think Austin's a free agent coming up, too, isn't he? Or
yeah.
Yeah, so that makes it interesting, too. I mean, maybe they both stay in the UFC. Who knows? Also, Macy at Barber actually said she wants to fight Rachel Ostapich and Montana De La Rosa. It's, you know, definitely I didn't see that, man, but I do believe you that she did say that. However,
and Ostovich is nowhere. She's on the verge of getting cut.
You know, Rachel Ostovich is on the roster because she's extremely attractive. I don't think it's because her record's very good. And she has a
four. She's under 500.
4-5. You know, but she's really, you know, marketable. So I can see why she's on the roster. Bella Rosa is actually a pretty good fighter, though. And her, and her, it's pretty cool. I heard her husband with the UFC. But yeah, I just think with Barber, she's going to want a title shot soon, man. So I think she's going to want a top five opponent. That's my guess. You know, we'll see. I could be wrong. But I think she'll be getting someone like we talked about, Jessica Eye, Joanne Calderwood. I mean, Caitlin Chuang, if she loses, she could fight her too. Because that fight's coming up in like 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
That card's creeping up, by the way, guys. That John Jones card. 3 weeks away, actually, but still creeping up quick. All right, let's switch gears here, Cole. So we talk about Whitaker. All right. So I was actually at my bowling league last night, and I get a Twitter DM from Cole saying, check this out. And it just says, UFC signs European light heavyweight. And I go, who they sign? Click on it. Because, of course, ESPN did the classic clickbait headline, Cole. Click on it. The UFC has signed Yuri Prochazka, the former Ryzen light heavyweight champion. First off, I had no idea he was a free agent. The only thing we heard was, after he beat CB Dolloway, that he's going to probably fight Ryan Bader for the Bellator title next. And now he signs with the UFC instead. I love this signing, Cole.
Yeah, this is a great addition to 205. John Jones kind of cleared 205. I think immediately you give Yuri a top 10 guy. You give him a guy Volkan. Give him the winner or loser of Blachowicz Anderson. Like, either or works. Like, you want to give him the winner, perfect. You want to give him the loser, that works too. Like,
I think Glover Teixeira.
Teixeira works too. Like, if you really want to test him, Anthony Smith is looking for a fight. Like,
I do like the Smith fight. I do agree with you. It's a great fight. But Smith is ranked number three. I don't know if you can give a newcomer a number three rank guy in the division. Yeah.
I'd like to see Volkan. If he gets past Volkan, yeah, give him Anthony Smith.
I'm 100% with you. I think it's going to be Volkan or Glover, both great fights. You know, Yuri Prochazka is a really good fighter, guys. If you haven't seen him fight, he is excellent. 26-3-1 record, 27 years old. He's a Czech Republic fighter. He's on a 10-fight win streak.
9 by stoppage.
Yes. He's knocked out almost all his opponents. 23 wins by knockout, 2 submissions, only 1 decision. This guy's only gone the distance once in his 30-fight career. That's pretty incredible. Look at some of the wins he has, Cole. CB Dolloway, Fabio Maldonado, Muhammad Lawal, Brandon Halsey, Carl Albrechtsen, Kazuyuki Fujita, Vadim Nemkov, Satoshi Ishii. He's got some good wins. Darko Stosic is another guy, Cole. That's a good win. So this guy is really good. He's a really, really good fighter. I'm excited to see him in the UFC, man. I think this guy can cause noise. You know, does he beat John Jones? Probably not. But I think he could fight him potentially, Cole, you know, by the end of the year. If John Jones wants to stay at 205, he's going to have to keep fighting guys like this. And that's another reason why I think he'll probably move up heavyweight eventually. A couple more comments here. Turned up MMA, Rebus, Malls, Paige VanZant, probably. And Macy says, Chris Ludford, Macy says she wants 4 fights here. All 4 will be Maya Calderwood, KGB. Yeah, I think she will stay active. Did she have 4 fights last year? I think she did.
No, she only had – well, she had broke her hand. I think she only had the 2, didn't she? She had Aldridge and Robertson.
I'll check right now, but I think she wants to stay active.
But the thing is, like, I think she gets this one. I think she gets one more.
It was 4 the year before in 2018.
Yeah. But I think she gets it's hard to get 4 fights in the UFC, first off. And I think she only gets 3. And I think she gets this one, one of Maya Calderwood, and then she gets the title shot. I think the UFC is going to push her. I think they think she's marketable. And it makes sense to try to give her the title shot because Shevchenko doesn't have many contenders. And if Macy Barber pulls it off, like, she automatically becomes a huge star.
And if she loses, like, no big deal because she's 12. Yeah. So you can easily bounce back from that. You know, you don't want to obviously hurt a prospect. You don't want her to be like Priscilla Cachoeira, where she like gets, you know, serious damage in the fight. But, you know, at the same time, Valentina needs opponents, and I think Macy's one of them. Okay, Chris Ludford, one more question here. Demetrius Johnson trade for Ben Askren was without the doubt the worst deal UFC made. Okay, so it's extremely controversial either way because, you know, this was the first trade in MMA history that I can think of. I don't think there's ever been another one. I think it's kind of a win-win trade for both promotions, honestly. Like, I know Ben only had 3 fights and he retired, but I think the 3 fights, Cole, he probably sold more pay-per-views than Demetrius did in his entire career. And that's what the UFC is about. What do you think?
I think it's a good trade for the UFC. Like, if you see, Ben Askren was a huge star in the UFC. He got a lot of eyes on his thing, on his fights. That 5-second knockout still getting played over and over again. That really pushed Masvidal into that huge superstar. Demetrius Johnson, although like he is a way better fighter than Ben Askren, he is one of the best pound-for-pound fighters, one of the best fighters of all time. The UFC just couldn't market him in the flyweights, and they can market Ben Askren in some welterweights that Ben Askren fought. Like, the Lawler fight was important. The Masvidal, like, Masvidal came star. Demetrius Johnson was never going to be that kind of superstar that Masvidal is now, and that was partly because of Askren. So I know fighting wise, it was a huge loss, but the way the UFC works, all about making money and promotion, and Askren was a way better promoter than what Johnson is.
Yeah, and you know, as far as who the better fighter, I mean, Demetrius Johnson, like, he really is one of the greatest of all time. He just doesn't sell pay-per-view. He's not marketable, but I think the fans in Asia respect him and appreciate him more, Cole. I think they really do. And, again, he's 3-0. He won the flyweight tournament, as we all expected. Now he's probably going to win the flyweight belt. But, you know, the thing about him is, like, Cole, who is Adrian Moraes? I don't even know who that is. I'll be honest with you. Like, I don't really know about him. You know, so he's going to be fighting guys that we don't really know who they are. Turn it up, MMA. Who's your most confident pick for UFC 246? Who is it, Cole?
Ooh. I like Hack for Ast. I know he's kind of
a big favorite. Yeah,
he's like 300.
I think he just destroys Dudauber. I don't think that fight's cool. You know, of course, he is, you know, one of the bigger favorites on the card, but I do think he wins. And, you know, as far as, like, if you want to look at closer odds go, I really like Sadiq Youssef, man. I just think there is big value of him. And I think you're on the same page.
Yeah, I really like Sadiq Youssef.
I like Philly, but
as in, probably my most confident, like, close odds too would be Ode Osborne. I think he can smack her.
Another guy we talked about. Go back and watch the podcast on Tuesday, my man. We broke down all the fights and we gave our picks. Me and Cole were mostly on the same page. There were a few fights we kind of disagreed on a little bit, but mostly on the same page. They're great, great, really underrated undercard, I think. I think the problem with this card is the pay-per-view itself is, besides the main fight card.
They should have taken Cadela Grasso, Olenek Green off, replace the women's fight with Barbara Modafferi, replace Olenek Green with Yusuf Fili.
And yeah, I think first off, Yusuf Fili probably should have opened up the card. I'm fine with Pettis opening it up too. I would have had Pettis do the co-main event against Ferreira. Yusuf versus Fili as the opening card. And, you know, I understand they want to put Barbara on the prelims because I think she's headlining them.
Yeah.
They want to have her kind of in that spot. That's fine. But what about Hack Paras? Want to throw him
up? Yeah. Like, the thing is, you should use this pay-per-view. You're going to get so many buys on this pay-per-view. Put Young Stars to open it. Put Yusuf on there. Put Hack Paras on there instead of Olenek Green. You're not going to market a 42-year-old Alexi Olenek if he wins. You're not going to market, like, Cadela Grasso. Although they might be contenders for strawweight, put him on the ESPN prelims. They're still going to get a lot of eyes, but then you still get Yusuf and Hackgrass, where if they win, they're contenders. Like, they're guys people are going to know because they saw them have good performances on the McGregor card.
Yeah. Here's another question. Chris Ludford, who's more marketable, Angela Lee or Willy Zhang? You know, this is hard for us to answer. We don't live in Asia, so we don't totally see the promotion that one championship does there. And I'm sure they really promote Angela Lee really well. But, you know, for me, it's got to be Willy Zhang because the level of competition, she just beat Jessica Andrade by knockout in like a minute. Who has Angela Lee fought that's even close to Jessica Andrade? Like, Angela Lee is a pretty good fighter, you know, for her age. She's only 23. She's young, 10-2 record, but who's she fighting really, Cole?
Well, and I think even if you just look at Asia, I think Willy Zhang's the bigger star in Asia.
Yeah.
And then even over here, more people know who Willy Zhang is. The thing I really like what Willy Zhang's doing is she is learning English. If you see interviews, she's trying to answer at least one question in English.
Yeah.
That's the thing with Jose Aldo, it made a lot of people not make Aldo like a huge star what he could have been, is he had to answer everything in Brazilian, like in Portuguese, sorry. And a lot of people like get frustrated, like fans just having to hear it get answered and then the translator translate it and then Aldo say this answer and then the translator go back to English. It kind of loses steam what he says. And for Willy Zhang, if she can answer like a couple questions in English, I think that's really going to help out her markability.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, Angela Lee, obviously, she's Canadian, so she speaks English. But yeah, I know what you're saying. Let's just go to the last couple of things here. Fight announcements. What do you think of this fight, Cole? Matt Brown versus Miguel Baeza at UFC Columbus. I'm a little surprised they matched up Matt Brown with a guy that most people don't know. I think it's a good fight. Miguel Baeza is a really good fighter. I'm just surprised they didn't give him someone like Mike Perry. What do you think with this fight?
Yeah, Brown should have got someone like Nico Price, Mike Perry, like just to put him in these fun fights like the Ben Saunders fight was. Like, I know he wanted to fight in his hometown, and that's probably what he had to get with fighting in Columbus, but I don't know. I just wish they put Brown in these fun fights, put him against like guys that aren't really coming up in contendership and just see what happens. Like, it's, but Baeza, if he gets a win over Brown, like, it helps his markability. But like, if Brown beats Baeza, like, it doesn't do anything, like, it hurts Baeza's stock, and Brown just kind of stays that same guy. So you should have, I think you match up Brown with guys that are just going to have fun fights and aren't in your contendership, like the Saunders one.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? You know, I think this fight is in Columbus, so they probably want Matt Brown to win, but I just think Beza can beat him, man. Beza is really good. What do you think, Cole? Beza?
Yeah, it's going to be close. I want to see. I wonder what the odds are going to be. Because
yeah, I would take Beza if he's an underdog. Honestly, I think he can win this fight. One other fight here, Bruno Silva against Sue Medardi. That's at UFC Brasilia. I think Glenn Caruso just broke that today. Any thoughts on that? Do you know these guys? Bruno Bulldog Silva.
I think he trains with
Cejudo.
Yeah, there's two. Yeah, so I know him a bit more. I'd favor him, but again, that's like
Klitaha. Yeah, he's
He's the guy lost Klitaha in his debut. But I probably have to look into it more, but early lean would probably be Silva just because who he trains with and has a better camp.
But Darji's got some good striking though, man. He looked pretty tall, but you know, he has been finished on the ground a couple times. Anyways, is there anything else you want to talk about, Cole, before we get out of here? Because I think that's good for today's show.
Yeah, I think that is good.
Okay, go ahead, plug yourself.
Twitter at @Cole_Show91, the fighter picks for Cerrone McGregor's up. Every other new stuff will always be on my Twitter.
Awesome. Okay, you guys can check me on Twitter at @MMAdamMerton, podcast, MMAOddsBreaker.com. Also check me out at BJPenn.com and MMARings.net. And one last thing here, Chris Ledford, according to YouTube analytics, Angela is more views than all the UFC female champions. It's possible, man. Again, Asia is a huge market. And
but it's hard to believe one championship when they say they get a billion views for their cards.
For sure, for sure. And but as far as the analytics for YouTube go, you know, again, there's more people that live over there. And again, we don't see that part of the world that often. Guys, thanks again for tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow for the Friday edition of the podcast. Cole, thanks for joining me on short notice today, man. Just wanted to get a second thought on the UFC 246. Press conference. That's it for today's show, guys. Thanks for all the questions. If you have any more, send them in tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone. Bye.